This is Susanna McMonagle, and you're listening to Season 3 of the 5 to 8 Shift podcast for parents. The 5 to 8 Shift podcast and community exists to educate, inspire, and encourage parents throughout their parenthood adventure. Here, we talk about all the things impacting parents today, everything from mental health to technology to faith, teenagers, toddlers, self-care routines, and so much more. We know parenting is tough work, but family life is worth every ounce of effort. We hope you listen in, share with your favorites, and are reminded that you're not alone. We look forward to cheering you on in your own 5 to 8 shift. It's the most important shift of the day. Hey guys, it's your host Susanna. Welcome to another episode of the 5 to 8 shift. If you're new here, welcome. I'm so glad you decided to check out this episode. If you've been here a while, thank you. Thank you for being here and sharing with your friends and sharing online and listening. This is one of the highlights of my week, is getting to spend some time with all of y'all and bring you some great guests and some good speakers and people who are just, you know, I hope you're learning something. I hope you're inspired, and I hope you enjoy, this little podcast of mine that is really my heart to yours. And so I have a really special podcast for you guys today. This podcast is a little bit different than some of my other guests. And so, as many of you probably know, I am an adoptive parent. We are an adoptive family. Chris and I, two of our kids are adopted. And so when it comes to adoption, you know, people just share stories with me when they hear hard stories and challenging stories and amazing stories and reunion stories and kind of all those things. People like to tell me, and of course, I love to hear them. And so today my chat is with Janine Keim. And so Janine has not written a book. She does not have her own podcast. She is a social worker. She's from Ohio. And by, you know, really, I think God and the way he moves, this story, her story was brought to me. And so, you know, actually through my own mom, and I said, Mom, do you think Janine would be on the podcast? Like, I would just love to share her story. And one thing led to another. And today I bring you my conversation with Janine. And so this is the only podcast episode I've ever cried on. I'm sure there'll be more. And I've had some very moving conversations over the years, but this one just really touched my heart. And so Janine's story, you know, I titled this one Navigating the Unscripted, because Janine's story was one that she did not plan. And so Janine is a first mama, or some of you who, you know, are maybe less familiar with some of the adoption terms. Janine was a birth mama. She got pregnant at a very young age and placed her child for adoption. And so I do not want to give anything away, but this is her story. And she's so brave to share it with all of us. I'm so encouraged by her words. So I just feel so honored to be part of her sharing her story. And I hope that you guys will be moved, to really, even if you're not an adoptive parent or a foster parent or part of that community, that after you listen to this, you feel so moved by the grace of God and his goodness and God's faithfulness. And so no matter what kind of obstacles might be coming your way, as Janine says in the podcast, there is nothing that is going to shock Jesus. Absolutely nothing. And so we talk about her journey after she, you know, before and after she placed her child, and, with let's just say you want to stick around for the end. So I'm so honored to share this story. Janine has offered, you know, she gave me her email. It's in the show notes. If you are, you know, in a tight spot, or you just want to thank her for sharing her story today, would you send her an email? Would you just let her know that you listened and you were inspired by her words? Because this was pretty awesome of her to share it in this way. She's never been on a podcast before. And so I'm just honored. And this is coming out right before Thanksgiving. I don't know when you'll get a chance to listen to it, but I am so thankful for people like Janine who are sharing their story. And so without further ado, I'm just going to drop you into our conversation. If you are a regular listener of this podcast, I'd love your review on Amazon or Spotify, and especially on Apple, as most of my listeners are listening there. But from my heart to yours, please enjoy this conversation with Janine Kine.
Well, my name is Janine Kine, and I'm from Canton, Ohio. I am a mother of three, and I'm a social worker here in the area. And I'm just honored to be a part of this podcast to just tell you just a little bit of my background and my story that's just full of grace and redemption that I just want to share with everyone. I was born and raised in a small city in Alabama, and just had an amazing Christian family. A great mom and dad, an amazing little brother, kind of had the best of everything. We traveled a lot, family vacations. I mean, it was, we were in church whenever the doors were open. Just a great family. We did start moving around a lot when I was about 12. And, you know, I was always told I was kind of like the risk taker in the family. I wasn't really afraid of a lot. And I also, now looking back, you know, if anyone ever told me like, no, or any type of like firm, like parenting, I would always try and like push the boundaries a little bit. Where my brother, I think, was just raised to be like very obedient.
Yeah. I'm a little like that. So I can, that resonates with me a little bit.
Okay. That's good. You know, that just kind of, so moving around and actually graduated high school overseas in Luxembourg, which was a really cool experience. Had a very, very small graduating class, but the whole time, you know, my mom and dad kept us in church. And I realized though, like come my teenage years, I was just kind of going through the motions. Yeah. And I'm not really sure if I had like a true relationship with Christ. I just knew I wanted to, you know, keep my family happy. And then everything was good if they were happy.
Yeah.
You know, I knew my parents were praying, and even my brother would pray that I would just come back to Christ. And I just fought it. And looking back, I have no idea why. I had a spirit that really wanted to go my own way.
Yeah. And I don't think that's uncommon for a teenager, you know. You know, like, and we just were talking off air, like, you know, there's a plan in place, whether we know it or not. And I firmly believe that was, I mean, definitely a part of your story and a lot of people's story.
Absolutely. I was in college, and I had just, you know, grades were not going very well. I just wasn't very focused in a lot of areas. I, you know, now I can see everything in my life was kind of, nothing was really on track.
Okay.
The further I got from where I needed to be with Christ, the more now I realize, I mean, I was just from finances to just everything in my life was just kind of crumbling. So I had actually made the decision to come home, move back home, and take a semester off college and just try and regroup, like try and figure out what am I doing? My life is a mess.
Were you a freshman in college? Was it your first year?
I was a sophomore.
Sophomore. Okay.
A sophomore in college. Yeah. I had dated someone like kind of on and off, not a good, healthy relationship at all. But by the time I moved home, and I had been home for a few months living with my parents, is when I realized I was pregnant.
Okay.
And that was when people say like rock bottom. Mm. That was kind of my rock bottom. I was so scared and shocked and, had nowhere else to turn. You know, my friends that I thought were my friends.
Oh yeah.
My friends in college, like no one was there. My family who thought that everything was going okay. I mean, I was at a turning point. Mm-hmm. And that was when I had to look to Jesus for everything, just to take my next breath, because to be able to share it with my mom and dad. And
that's what I was just going to ask you, was, did you share it with your parents immediately? Was that like a really...
I still had a couple of friends through my college, and I had shared with them, and some of their first reactions were, you know, don't worry, like there's things you can do. And I knew from the beginning, like there's like an abortion was absolutely not even in the question, but I also felt I was in no place to raise a child. But I had no idea what that looked like. Mm-hmm. And, so I remember going to my dad first. My dad and I always were super close, and he, you know, he was big, huge guy. And he, I just remember him giving me a huge hug and saying, we're going to get through this. Like, aww, you're my baby girl, and we're going to get through this. And then going to, talking to my mom, who is a teacher and just very there. I mean, she had just been praying for years, knowing that I was not where I needed to be with Christ. Yeah. And even though it was a crisis and it was not a fun time in our lives, looking back, just to see God's hand and his mercy through every step. We did find an adoption agency, a Christian adoption agency. And I actually gave, you know, I gave birth to a very healthy baby boy, August 19th of 1997. And with the, now, I mean, I know it was all God, leaving this child in the hospital, knowing his adoptive family would come and get him. Again, it's just all God, because now, you know, being able to have two children that I was able to parent and care for, and you think, how did I do that? And the what ifs, and I realized it was God. And, but it was hard.
Yeah.
So,
We were, so we host a little, we call them home groups with our church, where we have, some families over, and, we do it twice a year, and it's so life-giving. And we were literally talking about last night, like this idea of like hurting with hope, right? Mm-hmm. And how, even though you may be in a situation that was unplanned and unscripted and all of these sort of, wow, this is not how I saw these things panning out, and it can be really hard, and just because it's hard, it doesn't mean God is not who he says he is. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean that is not the plan that he set out for you, and it doesn't mean there's never going to be sorrow. Mm-hmm. Right? But absolutely, we have this hope, you know, that is so much bigger than 1 year or one decision or one relationship. And I think sometimes, like, I'm just like, if people just could latch on to that, right? How much different would we feel about the unexpected?
Yes. You know, Susanna, what I also really have been able, back in, you know, 97, it was, you know, we just didn't really talk about.
Yes, I was going to ask you about that.
Talk about. It was almost as if, you know, the more we may talk about like this hurt, then it may grow bigger. And it was unscripted. There's no like, what, as a family, you know, what should we do moving forward? It was just a very unsteady time. And, again, there's so many pieces that God brought into my life. When, you know, in 97, I was able to, that January of 98, go back to college.
Okay.
really just strengthening my walk with Christ. You know, my parents were in, you know, still working full time, and it was, you know, just me and Jesus there for a lot of days. I kept a really detailed journal that I really wasn't even able to look back on until about a year ago. Because it's just, I can kind of relive those raw emotions. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you just think, oh my goodness, am I ever going to be happy again or be able to breathe again? And I was able to breathe again. I was able not to ever forget or not, you know, put things behind me, but God makes way. And when I graduated college, my first job out of college, I met a man who, a strong Christian man who was a counselor, a Christian counselor. And looking back, it was our second date, Susanna. And I just like told him all about this, my experience with adoption and that I had this child.
The second date, Susanna.
Because wow. I was just very fearful of just even like dating and friends. And there was just, so we'd been, you know, just a while since I kind of was able to trust anyone. And
yes. Oh my gosh. Yes.
So, in February of this year, we'll be married 23 years. And Woo! He is like a pure, amazing, amazing husband, true man of God. And so Paul would often say, you know, what if this boy like tries to reach out, you know, are you excited? And I would often just say, like, I know he's probably not, you know, we would just go through all these different emotions.
But I have to say, I love that Paul was able to just be part of it. You know what I mean? I feel like either like a lot of, I don't want to stereotype men, but you know, like sometimes men are not the best at, hey, this hard thing happened. And so like, maybe it's easier not to talk about it. And I think that's I don't know, a little sweet part of the story that he's on that same journey with you.
Yes. So, I mean, it was pretty much like him and I, you know, throughout, we've had our Logan, my second child, just turned 20 and is 17. And
you said, you know, and your last child's 17. Is that what you said?
Isabella.
Okay. Isabella. Okay. Keep going.
So, you know, had this great full life, you know, raising these two beautiful babies and you know, being in church and just doing the best we can as parents to and lead and pray over and all those things.
Wait, before you say the next part, let me ask you. So when you had your baby and placed him for adoption, was there any like open communication or, you know, like, I don't know what it was like 25 years ago. I know so much has changed. So was there an expectation of one kind of, or like, tell me.
It was all brand new to us. We had met with, like a social worker through Baptist Children's Home.
Okay.
And he, the man's name was Charles, and he provided lots and lots and lots of counseling, as did his wife, just a beautiful, godly couple. It was very much a time of growing spiritually, growing in my own faith, figuring out who Jesus is to me, not just who he was to my parents that I was just kind of, you know, kind of mocking throughout my life, you know, really. And they kind of, I mean, the Charles and his wife were just there from the very beginning throughout, you know, the entire process. And then even after, you know, they would visit to make sure I was doing okay. And just another little side note, even as far as my profession goes, when I was in the hospital, again, it obviously it wasn't this wonderful, wonderful time, but there was a social worker that would come and just check on me. And even after I got home, she would call a couple of times, you know, she would just call and make connections and send like a card, just some checking on you. And I have all that still, you know, hidden away in my little chest. And that was really what made me, I wanted to be that person. I wanted to be in some sort of field where I could, you know, really connect with people and touch people when they are at their lowest. So that was just another little side note of how
I love that. I love that so much. Nothing is happenstance. The older I get, the more I believe that.
Yeah. So even like from my job to the, you know, my husband, I mean, it's just all, just to see God's faithfulness.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Yeah. Okay. So you're married, you have Logan and Isabella and then what happens?
Well, okay. And everything is wonderful, Susanna. I mean, I have like this great like network in my church. My work is amazing. I mean, everything, I couldn't ask for more. There was always in the very back of my head. And now I realize how crazy it is when we allow Satan to even get a little bit of a step in our thinking. I had for 25 years, I have in-laws who I adore, you know, all my husband's family, they are precious, close friends. I've walked through, you know, pain and crisis with them throughout the years. And I have not shared my deepest, hardest, decision. And in my head, I had it worked up that once people found out that my reputation would just be over and that people, just the shame of the guilt of carrying this around. I mean, it was a lot. It was, and I don't even think I was still able to pray and serve in church and do everything. But looking back, I was carrying that around. And you know, health-wise, it wasn't good. There was just a lot of secondary things that come about when you don't have that complete freedom to talk about our deepest, darkest moments. So last year, like July of 2021, my family and I just got back from our vacation at the beach, had a wonderful, wonderful vacation. And I was sitting, so we had laundry going downstairs and my husband and I were sitting watching the Olympics actually.
Oh yeah. And
I looked at my phone and there was a message, a Facebook message, but it said from someone that I wasn't friends with. And I was like, what is that? That's so random. So I like clicked on it and there was this beautifully written message. And it just started out, my name is Marshall Palmer Hood, and I think you're my birth mom.
Oh my goodness.
And then he went down and said, you know, he understands if I don't want a relationship, but he's an accountant. He just went over all his like personal stuff. He actually attached like, the birth certificate. And, I just have to say, I read it. And I gave the phone to Paul and it was as if I could breathe again. Like,
wow,
I could breathe. I didn't even know I wasn't breathing for 24 years. That has led to meeting his adopted mom and dad and all his extended family who all are Jesus followers. They have been praying for me and my beautiful family. Just none of us knew who each other were, but we knew that one day, whether this side of heaven or in heaven, we would be reunited.
Yeah.
And it's been a story just full of grace and forgiveness. I mean, I've had to ask forgiveness, Susanna, for keeping this this from even like sharing and allowing it to touch other people. When I was able to start, you know, sharing about choices that I made and then consequences and carrying around shame and guilt, to hear what others have said and shared with me that they've not been able to share in their entire lives, because life is hard and life isn't always just this perfect little thing. And we all have things in our lives that, that God can get us through.
Yeah. You know, I think you said this off air right before I started recording, but you said everybody has a story. And I'm just couching this whole conversation and just like, you don't know the person next to you who just seems so put together and so with it, and their house is clean and they look good. And they, you know, you just, yeah. And I'm also like very moved with like the weight of shame. Yeah. Right. And sometimes it's ourself, you know, it's not even like we're carrying these burdens that we were never meant to carry alone. And that is, you know, you said, I didn't realize I wasn't breathing.
Yeah. And just the real factor that, you know, I know there's multiple songs about how Satan is a liar and don't believe the lies, and how often it's easy to sing those songs and know all the words to the songs and then not really take it to heart. And he really is. I think the biggest, my Logan and Bella didn't know they had an older brother.
Okay.
It was one of those that in my mind, I just didn't want them to have the unknown, you know, where is he? I didn't know any information. And so the older my babies got and the older I knew that, you know, the son I had placed for adoption was getting, I thought this is just never going to happen. And then to be able to share with Logan and Bella, that had been something that Paul and I had prayed about since they were born, that they would have a tender heart, they wouldn't be, and that in and of itself, to have two teenagers that learn, oh, guess what, you have an older brother, and it was almost immediate. It was, son said, Mom, it's kind of crazy. I just think of you as like you're more real now. And so we've been in conversations that the only thing good in me is Jesus. And without him, like it's really not a pretty life. And just kind of getting a little bit more real, you know, even with my two babies here at home. So
yeah. Oh my goodness, Janine. This is just, and will you, so you have obviously met with Marshall and you guys have gotten together. Will you tell us a little bit about, you know, how your relationship has grown the past year?
Okay. So Marshall had asked if the first time that we met, if it could just be the two of us, because he said his dad really wanted to be there as well. And my husband really wanted to be there, but he's like, is it okay if it's just the two of us? And I said that, absolutely. Like, I'm whatever you want. It's totally fine. So we had decided to meet at a Starbucks in Columbus, midway for both of us.
Okay.
And so I'm driving like this 2 hours from Canton. And again, I got a glimpse of when I left him in the hospital, because it was 2 hours of just me and Jesus talking. I was so, there are no words to talk, to say how like excited and nervous. And I had no idea what to expect. So I pulled up into the Starbucks, and at Starbucks, and Marshall called him. He's like, well, I don't know what to do. Do we just like get out of the car? And I said, I guess. And I'm like standing in the front of the Starbucks, and all of a sudden this like 6'6" beautiful black haired man comes walking across, and I just felt, I just went numb from there. I mean, he, we just hugged, and I didn't want to let him go. And to see someone that he just looks so, just the looks and the mannerism, I mean, it's so real. It was real. And I, you know, I just could touch his face, and he wasn't angry with me, and he wasn't all these things again that I had built up in my head.
Yeah.
And since then, it has just been this whirlwind of God's goodness. I mean, it's been from all of my family, my in-laws and my brother and his family. I mean, all eager to meet Marshall and all his family and vice versa. I mean, it's been 1 year. And I think within a year, Susanna, we've probably all seen each other maybe like 6 or 8 times.
That is so awesome.
And just he, Marshall actually met a girl named Emma that he is getting married to next weekend.
Oh, next weekend. Oh my gosh.
Within this past year. And just the fact that he's like, I want his, like the birth family to be there, you know, the, and even Emma calls us Marshall's like bonus family right now.
Aww.
And it was kind of a big, you know, Marshall had said that he didn't know like what to call me because his parents are just precious and he never, ever wanted to disrespect anything, you know, his parents at all. And so he asked if he could call me mother. He said, I have, you know, my mom, but then you're also my mom. So how about if you're a mother? So those are the kind of things that he just keeps saying, there's no book written about this. So Marshall's wrong. And I'm like, and you know what, if we just keep bringing it back to God, it's going to be fine. It'll be fine. You know, I don't like to journal, but there's been too many amazing things that I just don't want to forget.
And yeah, like
the feelings to the emotions, just to the forgiveness. And, you know, and I will never just stop being grateful that I have a relationship, you know, with this child and his family. But Susanna, yeah, even if I wasn't able to have that relationship, just knowing that, you know, when we fall from Christ, sometimes there are consequences and sometimes they're not good consequences. And this has been a really good ending for us, like a new beginning of, I should say, getting to have a whole new family. But I just really wanted this opportunity just to kind of put my story out there and just be an open book for anybody and everyone that might have, like, anybody, you know, going through like a tough decision or anything like that, that just lean on God. And he's always faithful. Always.
Yeah.
Faithful. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. This is just such a, it's such a heartwarming story. It's amazing. And it's also challenging and I think important. And I'm so glad you shared with us, Janine. And
Thank you.
You know, and I think a couple of pieces, like I love what you shared about your two teens at your house. Cause I feel like that was probably, you know, a big conversation. One of the misconceptions, I think, now I have two adopted kids. I've only been part of this community for 5 years or so, but people who are further from it think there is a lot of animosity between adoptees, adoptive parents, first families, all of these things. And sometimes there is, and sometimes, you know, that's really hard. But, you know, when I heard that Marshall's, you know, adoptive parents just wanted to meet you and like get you on in, what was it like when you met them?
Susanna, I just want to throw this in too.
So I guess when Marshall turned 21, they were able to get my first and last name.
Okay.
I signed something that if he ever wanted to find me, that it was fine. So I had learned that the Hoods had access to my Facebook like for years, and they like were pushing Marshall, like, why don't you reach out to her? Reach out. And he just wasn't ready.
Okay.
But his mom and dad, who are pure amazing, I feel like they knew more about me than I know about myself. I mean, I remember the first time my phone rang and I looked and I saw where they were calling from, and I picked up the phone, and his mom kind of has a little bit of a Southern accent, and you would have thought that this was like a long lost relative, because I didn't want to hang up the phone. I mean, I just remember it was a summer night and I was sitting outside and my husband kept looking at Paul's like, what are you doing out there? Because I just wanted to she's just one of these people that you could just kind of hug on and spend like an entire day with. She did say after our first conversation that she had been making scrapbooks of Marshall's life, that and she wanted to send me all the books to me, all the photo albums and things like that. And so I remember I came home from lunch. This was probably like a week or so later, and there's this big box sitting outside my door. And when I opened it, it was just overwhelming to see that what I thought was something that I could never talk about and even think about without crying, that to see that not only has this have these beautiful people raised this amazing young man, but that they were praying for my life and the life of my family. And they knew that we would meet, you know, one day. And just a side note, I still have not been able to look through all those pictures yet.
Yeah.
That everything is just a process. And
that's,
I'm trying
right.
to really, you know, there's a lot of emotions, good emotions, but also just emotions. And, but I'll get there. I'll get there one of these days. But she even made photo albums for Logan and Bella.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. How thoughtful.
Who does that? Like, who does that? And, you know, my friends just keep saying that it's just such a God thing. You think that's unheard of. That just doesn't happen, because it doesn't. It's only God that it happens. So, yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. And you've had the opportunity to meet them. And so said you and Marshall got together by yourselves first.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've since. Okay.
And then like whenever we go, like we've gone down to where he lives, and all his aunts and uncles all live kind of in the same town. And so that was just amazing. Meeting all of them. And just having them, they kept thanking me for this amazing young man. And it was just a different way that I just have not thought of things. Like, again, it's just, I had just really worked up things in my head, and these people were just showing such gratefulness. And it's like a glimpse of heaven on earth. That's just what I kept telling my mom and Paul. It's just like that little glimpse of, this is like, it's what heaven's going to be like.
You know, and you said this earlier, and you said about like when Satan just gets a little foothold, mm-hmm. right? And so when I hear about, you know, just kind of what the last year plus has unfolded like for you, I'm just reminded that some of these thoughts that we have, like, they aren't truth, right? Mm-hmm. So you feel like people are going to be angry or all of these things. Mm-hmm. But the truth is that, you know, that couldn't be further from the truth.
Well, that to me, that's one of the hardest things for me to grasp was people's reactions, because it wasn't what I had allowed
Satan to really just have a field day in my head, and mm-hmm. and how I allowed him to rob so much joy throughout all these years that I didn't even realize I was being robbed of.
Yes.
Because I don't know if it was embarrassment or shame or pride. I'm going through all the different things that why couldn't I have said it? You know, I've always been one. I don't want people to feel bad for me. I don't want people to feel sorry for me. And, you know, that was because what are people going to say, but I'm so sorry. And I don't want that.
Yeah.
But maybe I did need that, you know, all those years. And I've also realized that all the what ifs, Susanna, like I'm in my mind, the what ifs come from Satan as well, because when I start to think about all the different what ifs I could have said, not just with Marshall, just in my life in general, it doesn't bring any peace. And it can just kind of, again, like rob joy that, that we as Christians should have every day. So even on really hard days.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. One of, you know, the last things I want to ask you, Janine, is how has your faith both been challenged and strengthened through this journey that you can share with my listeners?
Okay, I'd love to. I would say it's been challenged greatly at the beginning. A year ago when Marshall, you know, and I had met, and my head was just full of who I need to call these people. And there's so many, you know, people I need to tell in person that I love, and not having the faith that, Jesus has brought me this far for 24 years. Yeah. And this little amazing piece, I still was putting myself, I have to be in control of it. And it's funny how God uses kids sometimes, because Susanna, I can still remember, I had not yet told a lot of people, and Marshall came here for a visit. And Logan and Bella were just like on cloud nine, like who would hurt them? This kid is so awesome. And Logan in the evening posted a picture of him and he's like, oh, you know, here's my brother I just found out about, and he's way cool. Like, I'm really lucky or something. And Logan has tons of followers. So
oh, my goodness.
And I kind of, that was like my breaking moment, because what I wanted to say was, take that down, Logan, I'm not ready.
Yeah.
But I realized this is their story too. This is, and Bella have a story, and who am I to tell them what to do or not to do? And I needed that. In fact, Logan calls it just ripping the Band-Aid off, because I don't. And I really needed that. I needed, because that just forced that process. And then the more, you know, I told people and shared with people, then I realized, God, you still have me. I'm still in your hands. I was in your hands 24 years ago, and I'm still there now. And if I'm not there, is when my feelings of anxiousness and doubt and everything just starts to be overwhelming.
Yeah.
So that was definitely my biggest, like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? But again, it was just focusing on myself, and And honestly, my biggest faith is being able to clearly, with a deep breath, talk about my actual testimony and talk about, if it wasn't for an unplanned pregnancy, I would not have the faith in Jesus that I have now.
Mm.
And even though getting there was not at all fun and peaceful or anything like that, but it has led to a life that I try really hard to meet people where they're at, and And no, you know, absolutely no one is perfect. And there's really nothing you can say or do that is going to shock me, because it's not going to shock our Jesus either. So it's just kind of helped me just be the person and the woman that I am, and the person I'm striving to be as well. So, yeah.
Yes. And I want more young people to hear that, you know, because I feel like, I don't know if it's trust or lack of experience, but like, I just, what you just said, like, it's not going to shock me. And I just,
It won't shock me.
That, yeah. And, but isn't that such a wonderful gift you can give somebody, that whatever they say, you know, and because Jesus is not shocked, and he knows, and he already knew right before they even,
Yeah.
Oh, Janine, this is just, you know, this, I feel like this is such an encouragement. I just feel like it's far beyond just your story. And I'm so glad it has, you know, it's worked out the way it has, but really, you know, even if you were at a different point in this journey, I'm so glad that you're sharing it and letting people know that there are real people out here who, you know, and other people might think otherwise, but we're just all out here doing the best we can and leaning hard into the grace of Jesus.
Absolutely. Yes.
Thank you. Oh my gosh. Thank you for being with me, Janine. I know this is like out of your, maybe out of your comfort zone, out of your norm, but you are going to encourage so many people.
That's awesome. Thank you so much.
Truly. I really, you know, and I'm kind of on the other end. I'm the adoptive parent and, you know, I'm thinking about my boys' mamas all the time, and I don't know what their relationship is going to be like, but you've just encouraged me to keep doing what I feel is right on my end, and, you know, dignity and, you know, and trusting God that it's going to work out exactly as he wants it to.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Thanks for listening in today. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to rate and review us wherever you're listening to this podcast. Be sure to share with us on Instagram what you liked most about the episode by tagging me at Susanna.McMonagle. And lastly, if you want more information about the 5 to 8 shift, you can check out our website, the5to8shift.com. We'll see you guys next time.